You are 40 minutes into a cross country. The sky was scattered at departure. Visibility looked fine, but the clouds ahead have been thickening for the last 10 miles, and you have been telling yourself it is going to open up. Just a little further. And then, somewhere between that thought and the next one, the horizon disappears. You are now a visual flight rules pilot inside the clouds, and the clock has started. I'm Pattern. This is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. And today we are talking about inadvertent instrument meteorological conditions. Because this is one of the most lethal traps in all of general aviation. Not because it is rare, because it is common enough to have ended thousands of careers and thousands of lives. Good pilots. Careful pilots. Pilots who never intended to be here. Let's talk about what the research shows, what actually happens to your body when the horizon disappears, and what you need to brief before you ever leave the ground. Because the real emergency procedure for inadvertent IMC starts on the ground, not in the clouds. Before we get into it, a quick thank you to AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot's journey. First solo private instrument commercial, a real way to mark the milestones that actually mean something. AviationSoul.com. Now the numbers, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association and the National Transportation Safety Board have both studied visual flight rules flight into instrument meteorological conditions in depth, and the data is not kind. VFR into IMC accounts for roughly 11% of fatal general aviation accidents. But it is the fatality rate that really lands. Somewhere between 75 and 85% of pilots who enter inadvertent IMC do not survive. 3 out of 4. That is not a figure from the barnstorming era, before instruments and radios and glass panels. That is recent data, modern airplanes, GPS in the panel. Synthetic vision on some of them. And still, once that horizon disappears and disorientation takes hold, the odds go bad very fast. There is also a time factor that every pilot who flies near marginal weather needs to know. Research from OOPA's Air Safety Institute suggests that the average untrained pilot, flying by feel alone after losing visual references, can maintain control for roughly 178 seconds before losing the airplane. That is about 3 minutes. 3 minutes between entering the clouds and the end of the situation for a pilot who is not specifically trained for this. 3 minutes sounds like a long time until you are in it. So let's understand exactly what happens in those 3 minutes. Your brain, in normal visual flight conditions, uses the horizon as its primary source of attitude information. Your eyes look out, they see the horizon, and your brain and your inner ear agree on which way is up. The system works beautifully. The moment visual references disappear, your inner ear takes over as the dominant input. And your inner ear was not designed for this job. The semicircular canals, the fluid-filled structures that sense rotation, have a detection threshold. They are built to notice sudden changes. A very gradual bank, 1 or 2 degrees per second, can fall completely below that threshold. You are in a bank, you cannot feel it. As the bank steepens, the lift vector rotates with the wing. The airplane begins to descend. You feel the descent, but because you cannot feel the bank, your brain interprets the descent as a pitch problem. You feel nose low, so you pull back. Here is where it becomes dangerous. Pulling back in a banked airplane tightens the turn. The bank steepens further, the airspeed builds, the G-load increases. You are now in what pilots call a graveyard spiral, and you're applying the exact control input that makes it worse. The increased G-load from the tightening spiral actually feels like you might be pulling out of a dive. The seat is pushing up on you harder. Your body tells you that whatever you're doing is working, it is not working. You are spiraling toward the ground, with increasing airspeed, and your own proprioception is helping it happen. Pilots who have not trained for this moment almost universally trust what they feel over what the instruments show. That is not a character flaw. That is the raw physics of how the human body processes rotational motion. You are not built to fly blind, and your brain will fight you when you try. There is a related phenomenon called the leans, less immediately fatal but still a real hazard. Here is how it develops. You're in a bank. The bank is corrected either by you or by an autopilot. The correction happens faster than the gradual entry did, so your inner ear registers it as a roll, but it interprets the correction as a roll in the wrong direction. Now you feel banked the other way, even though the wings are level. Your brain, trying to feel level, may prompt you to apply control pressure back toward the original bank. You re-enter it. The instruments say one thing. Your body says something else entirely. You're fighting yourself. The leans can persist for minutes even after you intellectually know the wings are level. It is exhausting, and it degrades your ability to manage everything else in the cockpit at exactly the moment when you need your capacity most. This is why unusual attitude recovery under the hood feels so uncomfortable when you first try it. Not because the airplane is doing something different, because you are practicing repeatedly the act of overriding your own physical instincts, trusting the glass over the gut. Now, a question I hear from students with glass cockpits: does modern avionics change any of this? The honest answer is yes, and also no. A large format primary flight display makes the attitude indicator more prominent. Synthetic vision gives you a picture of terrain and traffic even when you cannot see outside. Those are real margins. But glass does not change what your inner ear is telling you. It does not reduce the G-load in a developing spiral. It does not make the decision to turn around. And a pilot who fixates on a synthetic vision terrain picture or a traffic return instead of the attitude indicator is in just as much trouble as a pilot flying steam gauges. The attitude indicator is still the primary reference on any panel. Trust it. If your airplane has an autopilot, engaging it immediately when you recognize you are in IMC is a legitimate option. An autopilot can hold wings level when your body is fighting you to bank. But two important caveats: know your autopilot before you need it. Fumbling with an unfamiliar system in the clouds with a spiking workload is its own hazard. And the autopilot does not make the radio call. It does not find the nearest airport. You still have to fly the situation even if the wings are being held for you. Now let's talk about the actual procedure. Step one is the most important, and it has to happen immediately. The moment you recognize you are in instrument meteorological conditions, begin a 180-degree turn. Not in a moment, not after you assess the situation. Now, every additional second in the clouds is another second that spatial disorientation has to compound. Time is the enemy here, and every second spent pressing forward is a second you are not spending on the escape. How do you fly the 180? Trust the attitude indicator. That is the whole game. Not your gut, not what you feel. The attitude indicator. Roll the wings level first, using the attitude indicator as your sole reference. If it says you're in a 30-degree right bank, you're in a 30-degree right bank, regardless of what your body is telling you. Get the wings level. Then establish a standard rate turn, using the turn coordinator to confirm, back toward the heading you came from. Standard rate is 3 degrees per second. 180 degrees at standard rate takes 60 seconds. One full minute of disciplined instrument scan. Your scan should move. Attitude indicator. Turn coordinator, altimeter, airspeed indicator. Back to the attitude indicator. Keep it moving. The most common error in this situation is fixating on one instrument and missing what the others are telling you. The attitude indicator is primary, but it does not fly the airplane alone. Set power for level cruise, something that keeps airspeed in a controlled range, and resist the impulse to pull aggressively if you feel like you're descending. Check the attitude indicator first. If the wings are level and the nose is near the horizon, you are probably okay. Adjust from there. When you reach the 180-degree mark, roll wings level. Look outside. If you're below the cloud base, visual references should return. If not, it is time for the radio to declare the emergency. I know some pilots resist this. There is a reluctance, especially among newer pilots, to say Mayday or Squawk 700. We have talked about that reluctance before on this show, but here's where it stands today. If you are a VFR-only pilot inside the clouds, that is an emergency. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, recognizes it. There is no certificate action, no administrative penalty for declaring a Mayday in good faith. There is only help available on the other end of that radio. Pick up the radio, use the frequency you are already on. If you are not on a frequency, go to 121.5, the universal emergency frequency. Say, Mayday, 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 your aircraft type and tail number, your approximate position. What is happening? Air traffic control can vector you toward clear air, toward an airport, toward a heading that takes you out of the worst of it. They can clear the airspace around you. They can coordinate rescue if it comes to that. But only if they know you need them. Set the transponder to 7700. That is the universal emergency code. It flags your target on every radar screen. It brings eyes to your situation immediately. Now here's what I really want to say, because everything I have described is the procedure for after you are in it. The real emergency procedure is what happens before. The pilots who end up in inadvertent IMC are usually not reckless. They are usually optimistic. They thought the clouds would thin. They gave themselves a little more distance to see how it developed. They felt like the visibility was okay enough for one more mile. Weather has no interest in your schedule. Clouds do not negotiate. And in aviation, optimism in the face of a deteriorating trend is not a strategy. It is a risk.
Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. The legal minimum for visual flight rules flight in class golf airspace is a 1,000-foot ceiling and 3 miles of visibility. That is the floor set by regulation. That is not a comfortable operating margin. That is the absolute minimum below which you are not allowed to go, established for conditions where trained VFR pilots can maintain visual reference. Your personal minimums should be higher than that, meaningfully higher. And they should be specific to each flight. How current are you? When did you last fly in weather? Are you familiar with the terrain along the route? Is the trend improving or deteriorating? Is there high terrain anywhere along the route? Where is the nearest airport? One framework I give to students. Before every cross-country in marginal conditions, ask yourself this question. If the weather is exactly what it is right now when I get where I'm going, will I be comfortable making that approach and landing? If the answer is anything other than a clear yes, you have your answer. Briefing your 180 is just as important as briefing the weather. What is the ceiling right now? What heading did I depart from? Where is the nearest airport behind me? If I had to reverse course right now, what heading am I turning to and at what altitude do I level off? Those questions take 30 seconds to answer on the ground. They take 30 seconds you will not have in the clouds. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate include emergency operations and spatial disorientation and inadvertent IMC are embedded in the risk management expectations across multiple tasks. The examiner on your check ride is looking for a pilot who identifies the hazard before it becomes a situation, who has thought about personal minimums and can explain them, who has a plan for weather that changes rather than a hope that it will not. Here's something I tell students who want to prepare for this specifically. Get time under the hood with a safety pilot. You do not need an instrument rating to fly with a view-limiting device and a rated pilot in the right seat. Even 2 or 3 hours of basic attitude flying, including unusual attitude recoveries, changes your relationship with the attitude indicator. You begin to trust it in a way you cannot manufacture intellectually. You have to feel the disconnect between what the instruments show and what your body says, and practice choosing the instruments anyway. Look into the AOPA Air Safety Institute's online courses. They have specific modules on VFR into IMC with case studies drawn from the NTSB accident record. The accident sequences are detailed. Reading them is uncomfortable. They are meant to be. And if your instructor offers the opportunity to fly in actual instrument conditions under supervision, say yes. There is a difference between a hood course in smooth air and watching the windshield go white. One of those experiences stays with you in a way the other cannot replicate. The inadvertent IMC encounter is survivable. The 180 works, the radio works. What does not work is continuing to press forward into deteriorating conditions and hoping. What does not work is trusting your body over the instruments. And what never works is getting into the clouds before you have thought any of this. Through today's material came from AOPA Air Safety Institute research on VFR into IMC accidents, the NTSB General Aviation Accident Database, and FAA Safety Circular Guidance on Controlled Flight and Spatial Disorientation. You can find additional training resources at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern. This is Traffic Pattern Brief, the 180 before you leave the ground. See you next time.